Radio Prague News. The lower house is to vote on controversial tax hikes that may bring down the government. Police on Tuesday raided the offices of the Ústí regional administration, arresting six people. Government officials, cultural figures and war veterans on Tuesday paid their last respects to World War II veteran General Tomáš Sedláček. The lower house is to take a vote on two controversial bills rejected by the Senate, a bill which would open the way for church restitutions and a proposed VAT hike in 2013. The governing coalition, which now has 100 deputies in the lower house, will need 101 votes to overturn the Senate's veto of bills, which the Prime Minister has said will decide the government's fate. Several members of his own Civic Democratic Party are strongly opposed to the proposed VAT hike on the grounds that such a move would send the country deeper into recession. President Klaus, the party's founding father, on Monday urged MPs to reject the proposed tax hikes, saying he hoped that common sense would prevail during Tuesday's vote. At a meeting of his party's deputies' club on Tuesday, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said he was prepared to link the fate of the government to the said bills in a repeat vote should they be rejected. He said the ruling coalition would have no reason to remain in office if it were unable to fulfill its primary goal, putting the country's finances in order. Police on Tuesday raided the offices of the Ústí regional administration, arresting six people. Among those detained was the governor's deputy Pavel Kouda. According to Czech television, the arrests are linked to suspicious financial activities in the Northwest Operation program. Its current head, Pavel Markvart, is being questioned by the police. In July of this year, the program's former head, Petr Kusnets, was sentenced to 7 years in jail for accepting millions of crowns in bribes and manipulating EU grants. Social Democrat leader Bohuslav Sobotka said in response to the news that Pavel Kouda would be taken off the party's list of candidates for the autumn regional elections. Government officials, cultural figures and war veterans gathered at Prague's Vítkov Memorial on Tuesday to pay their last respects to World War II veteran General Tomáš Sedláček, who died last week at the age of 94. The general fought with the Allies in France, Britain and later with the Soviet Army, helping to liberate Czechoslovakia. After the communist takeover, he was arrested, convicted of anti-communist activities and jailed for life. He was released in 1960 and exonerated by the Velvet Revolution in 1989. President Václav Klaus awarded him the Order of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, described him as a true soldier. A private funeral ceremony was held for family and friends only in the late afternoon. The Agricultural Workers' Union is trying to drum up support for a two-hour general strike against government policy to take place on September 27th. The protest is aimed against the government's austerity package, which the union says will impact primarily lower-income groups, families with children, pensioners and the disabled. Relations between the government and trade unions have been strained since trade unions walked out of a tripartite meeting in June. An attempt to resume talks is to be made on September 24th, just 3 days ahead of the planned protest. The Czech Republic stands to lose the equivalent of 4 to 5 billion crowns due to problems in drawing money from EU funds, according to Education Minister Petr Fiala. Minister Fiala said it was now almost certain the available funds would not be drawn by the end of the year due to poorly prepared projects and delays on the Czech side. There are fears that the problems with drawing of EU funds could seriously impact the government's consolidation strategy. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be partly cloudy with day temperatures around 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Maggie Lund. Coming up in our programme today, rising inflation means that despite nominal wage increases, many households may in fact be more stretched than before in the face of higher prices for basic goods. In Bosnia, an elite team of Czech police explosive experts is set to help clear remnants from the war in the region 17 years ago. And later, we bring you another edition of Panorama, this week from the northern Bohemian town of Varnsdorf. All that's still to come, plus more, so stay tuned. Although the most recent figures from the Czech Statistical Office gave a slightly optimistic view of rising wages in the second quarter of this year, a report in the daily Lidové noviny warns that the reality is different. The inflation in the Czech Republic is increasing faster than wages, and given the rising prices of basic goods and threats of further tax increases, the Czech consumer is left less than optimistic about the future. Masha Vilinsky has more.
The nominal average wage in the Czech Republic has grown by 2.3% in the second quarter of 2012, compared to a year ago, bringing it up to 24,646 crowns per month. Yet, as Lidové noviny reported Tuesday, the purchasing power of the Czech consumer has actually gone down. Real wages, that is, salaries adjusted for inflation, have actually gone down in the past year by around 1%, given that prices on average have risen by 3.4%. What does this actually mean? Well, it means that with an average Czech monthly paycheck, you can get 47 kilograms less of bread than you could last year. Food prices have gone up overall by 7.3%, and energy prices have also risen year on year. I asked the economics journalist and commentator Chris Johnstone what other long-term factors may be contributing to this decrease in the cost of living in the Czech Republic.
Historically, in Czech wages have been in the past, over the last decade or so, been catching up with Western Europe, and that's due to the fact that the productivity of Czech companies was rising even faster. Of course, with the recession in Europe over the last year or two, companies, they haven't been working at full pace, so the productivity gains haven't been there. So that feeds through again to what they feel that they can spend on their employees. And wages haven't been going up as fast as maybe they were 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. So basically the real gains, real increases in wages aren't what they were a few years ago.
If this trend does continue, what would be the political ramifications of the situation?
I mean, there's probably no doubt that there isn't much of a feel-good factor in the Czech Republic at the moment. I mean, ordinary people are feeling the squeeze on their purses, on their income, because what they're earning isn't keeping pace with their spending. There are two factors there. The fact is, yes, a lot of commodity prices in the world are going up, oil prices especially, and there are fears that a lot of basic commodity prices will go up again in the near future. So that's a problem. Then there's the other factor that the government's also taking more away from them, because basically the Czech government increased value-added tax. So every time people go out and try to buy something, they're paying the government more. So people are getting less back when they go out to do their ordinary weekly shop, which maybe means a lot of Czechs aren't feeling so well off.
Is this part of a kind of a bigger economic frustration that will have an impact on the upcoming elections?
As I said, I mean, there's not much of a feel-good factor in the Czech Republic at the moment. When people voted in the last general elections or parliamentary elections, they broadly voted for parties that promised two things. One was budget responsibility and two was the attack on corruption. Attack on corruption has probably disappointed most people, and budget responsibility is translated into basically higher VAT and diminished government services. So that doesn't translate into a very good selling point for the current centre-right government. And the Czech government is trying to do what other European governments are trying to do as well. They're trying to, at one stage, try and fight and cut the budget deficit, but they're struggling to get the money to do so because economic growth just isn't there, or they can't tax companies on the profits. So it's basically the poor old Czech employee who suffers, because he's the more or less the only target left that can be taxed if he doesn't move out of the country.
That was Chris Johnstone ending the report by Masha Vilinsky. And if you'd like to get in touch and tell us what you think of that story, you can do so by writing to english@radio.cz. An elite police force from Brno has headed to Bosnia and Herzegovina to clear vestiges of the war in Bosnia 17 years ago, unexploded mortar bombs in the winding Sava River. Divers from the elite squad, working in poor visibility underwater, will understandably have to proceed with extreme caution. An estimated 150 mortar shells litter the river bottom. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Divers from the Explosive Ordnance Disposal Squad based in Brno are ranked among the very best and are used to working in tough conditions. But their latest mission in Bosnia and Herzegovina arguably raises the bar. Over 9 days, members of the elite team will work to remove and defuse unexploded mortar bombs that have rested in the mud at the bottom of the Sava River for 17 years. Given that a single 200-millimeter 20-kilogram mortar bomb has a large blast range, the mission will need to proceed only with the utmost caution. The head of the divers in the Brno unit, Filip Lipovski, told Czech TV he was certain the team is up to the task.
When we were first asked if we could do it, I replied that I thought that we could. I have a very good team behind me. At the same time, I asked each member of the squad if the level of risk was acceptable. They all said it was. But you have to treat munitions like this with respect. We're not going over there to just pull any old thing out of the water.
Respekt tomu je, rozhodně. Jo, nejdeme tam tahat z vody, já nevím, něco jiného.
The team operating on the Sava River will have to adjust to conditions on the ground. As officials have pointed out, the river itself, as wide as 200 meters in places, will not be easy to cover. Sonar will be used to try and detect deadly mortar shells first. Then drivers will be sent in to scope the area. The unit's Filip Lipovski makes clear no one is underestimating the risk.
We are going to be pulling out some of the largest shells, 120 millimeters, and it's probably the first time something like this was attempted. I highly doubt an insurance company would insure a diver specialist who will be manipulating explosive devices underwater with little visibility against the current, putting them in a basket or attaching them to a line so they can be removed.
The head of the unit, Lubomir Znoil, suggests, meanwhile, that while on the one hand the mission is a challenge to be met, he personally will be happier once things wrap up.
We're used to similar kinds of work, but we've never attempted the project as big as this before in such a wide area as the Sava. It's an unusual feeling to return to the war, so to speak. We don't know what kind of condition the munitions will be in, whether they will be active, and there is really a lot. I have to admit I will be happier once it is over and each of us has returned home to our families safe and sound.
Lubomir Znoil ending that report by Jan Bellinger. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. And coming up next, we're bringing you another edition of Panorama with Jan Richter, this week from the northern Bohemian town of Varnsdorf, home to the Czech Republic's first Buddhist temple.
A town surrounded by deep pine forests, dotted with old timbered German-style villas and occasional communist-era prefab houses. A town boasting many parks, a river, two churches, and the country's first Buddhist temple. This is Varnsdorf, a town of 16,000 in the northernmost part of the Czech Republic. Only a few hundred meters from a border crossing to Germany, a 1912 two-story villa that once belonged to a local entrepreneur is the religious center of the Czech Republic's large Vietnamese community. Since January 2008, it has been the home of the Tien An Temple, the first Buddhist shrine in Central and Eastern Europe. I ask Wu Linh Ngo from the local Vietnamese community what made them establish a Buddhist shrine in their town.
My jsme už tady skoro 20 let.
We've been here for nearly 20 years and we have a large community here. In Vietnam, Buddhism is a religion as well as part of our culture. So we want our future generations who will stay here in the Czech Republic to know about our own traditions, our customs. That's why our community here in northern Bohemia and the whole country put money together to establish this temple.
Wu Linh Ngo says each service is attended by 50 to 70 people who bring fresh flowers, fruit and sweets to honor Lord Buddha. The Tian'an Temple in Warnsdorf has even its own Buddhist monk who leads the religious services. At the moment, he's in Thailand studying, but I was in luck. Another monk from Prague paid a visit and held a small service while I was there.
Je to vždycky obřad, je to dvakrát do měsíce, prvního.
The service takes place twice a month on the 1st and 15th of the lunar month. People come here from Prague, Brno, Ostrava, from Poland and Germany. So far we've had quite a lot of people coming here.
Takže poměrně dost lidí sem chodí zatím.
Today the Vietnamese community in the Czech Republic officially numbers 45,000. Young Vietnamese started coming to Czechoslovakia in the 1970s and 80s to study and to learn trades. After the fall of communism, many of them stayed in the country and took to retail business, especially in the areas bordering on Austria and Germany. And Warnsdorf is one of the community's largest centers in northern Bohemia. But it seems that on rocky ground with little soil, the universal Buddhist message of love and peace will have to struggle. I went to the local gymnasium or grammar school and ask students how they felt about living together with the Vietnamese community.
In our school, we have Vietnamese, and I think that Vietnamese is very horrible because I don't like them, because them belong a lot of pubs and retail in our town, food shops, shops with clothes and so on and so on. I think it's horrible because they're everywhere.
They come here because they think that they will have easiest life here, but this is not true. Good thing about it is that our people are also poor and they buy cheaper clothes from them. This is maybe why they're here, but even that I don't like them because all of those guys bring a lot of illnesses in here.
Today's world is quite cosmopolitan and it's not a problem. For example, next year I want to study in Germany so I can, because Czech Republic is in EU. Yes, and it's not problem. The key is to meet the right people and try to make tolerance and change your mind.
Warnsdorf, once the biggest village in the Austrian Empire before it acquired a town status in 1868, was almost entirely German until after the Second World War. In 1946 and 7, ethnic Germans were expelled from Czechoslovakia and the area known as Sudetenland was resettled with Czechs and Slovaks. Soon enough, the town also became a home for a large Roma community who moved here as cheap laborers from Slovakia. But Warnsdorf has a history of religious strife. In the late 19th century, the town became a center of the old Catholic Church in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Josef Zbihle is a historian at the local museum.
The old Catholic Church in Warnsdorf was founded in 1871. At that time, the local Catholic priests revolted against the Catholic Church and its dogma on papal infallibility. They were excommunicated, but they were lucky to secure the support of local factory owners and managed to raise enough funds to build their own church. The old Catholic Church used to be quite popular in the area, but after the expulsion, their numbers dropped to almost zero.
The old Catholic Church of the Transfiguration of Our Lord in Warnsdorf was the biggest of its kind in Austria-Hungary and is still active today. Roland Soloch is the old Catholic priest in Warnsdorf.
Tady sever je pro duchovního i vůbec pro církve hrozně těžkým.
The north of Bohemia is difficult turf for a priest, and in fact for any church. I've been the priest here for 5 years, and I've managed to baptize some people. But I see that the way to the church and to Jesus is hard and difficult here.
K církvi, ke Kristu je fakt strašně těžká, náročná.
And how does Roland Soloch feel about a Buddhist temple functioning in the town?
Osobně pro mě nebo i pro církev je to něco, s čím se můžu smířit.
For me personally as well as for the church, it's something I can put up with. I don't mind at all. Our church is open, not only towards other Christians, but to other religions. I'm happy there is a place where people can contemplate and search for the spiritual. I wouldn't even mind if their spiritual leader came to me and we would pray together.
Od nich duchovní přišel za mnou a třeba, že bychom se i spolu modlili.
Wow.
Wu Linggo, one of the founders of the Tian'an Temple in Wandsdorf, says local people are interested in what's going on in their shrine, and they haven't had any problems so far.
It's been 6 months, and we've only had good experiences. People come here out of curiosity, and we show them around so that they understand what we do. We've had school classes here, even groups of adults who come because they want to see what we do, why we do it, and what Buddhism is.
The fall of communism has brought many new things to Wandsdorf the locals might not be ready for, and it might take some time to understand. But Buddhists can be patient in their prayers for awakening from the sleep of ignorance. So if you are in the area and feel like an international moment of Zen, Wandsdorf is the place to go.
Jan Richter reporting. And that edition of Spotlight was first broadcast in June 2008. That was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today, but you can still catch all our programmes online at radio.cz, and you can always get in touch with the show to tell us what you think or with any questions by writing to english@radio.cz or by post to Vina Hradska 12, 12099 Prague 2. But that's all for now. So from me, Maggie Lund, and everybody else at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us and goodbye.